Yes, it was the wrong way. It was all the way over, but it was on the wrong side. Hey, there, now it's really working. It sounds like it too. So with the responsive reading, I'll read verse 1, and then, of course, everybody will read together where there's bold print. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is by the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And God will really bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts today. Have you ever felt your faith being tested? Abraham did. And now we're looking, of course, on the other side, the other side for your notes with that reading. At least four times in his life, Abraham was tested in areas of surrendering something dear to him in a natural way. In Genesis 12, God called Abraham to leave his family. That would be hard in a natural sense. Also, his country. That would be everything familiar to him. And Abraham passed that test. He obeyed God. In Genesis 13, Abram was tested about his relationship with Lot. Lot was a believer in the Lord, but he was worldly, like a vessel unto dishonor, mentioned in 2 Timothy 2:20. Abraham had to separate from that worldly man in order for himself to be a vessel unto honor and fit for the master's use. A third test happened in Genesis 17 regarding Ishmael. Abraham's fleshly plan was rejected by God. And that was hard on Abraham because he loved Ishmael. But the most difficult time of crisis was in our chapter today. And verse 1 and 2, God said, "Take thy son. Take thine only son." But what about Ishmael? Wasn't he also Abraham's son? How was Isaac Abraham's only son? Well, Isaac was the only miraculously born son who was conceived by a divinely rejuvenated man, Abraham, when he was past age. And also, he was born out of a divinely rejuvenated womb when Sarah was beyond bearing. He was the only son of that way, the son of promise and of God's divine intervention. But look again at verse 2 on your readings. Verse 2 and verse 12 and verse 16. You see something in common with those three? Verse 2, verse 12, and verse 16. Do you notice the word son in each of those three verses is in italics? That means that the English translators included the italicized word to give the sentence sense. But son was not in the original Hebrew text. So it could be read, "Take thine only." Take thine only. And that would convey the nearest and the dearest of all of Abraham's possessions, thine only. That which all your delight is in, Isaac, your only. And offer him for a burnt offering, says verse 2. Have you got any Isaacs in your life? That which all your desire and affection and longing is toward, your only, would you be willing to give for the Lord? Take thine only and offer him up for a burnt offering. Remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 33, our Lord Jesus said, "So, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Whosoever of you forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. For Abraham, this was a test of his devotedness to God. It wasn't a sin offering. It was not a question of Abraham's needing to be reconciled with God. It was a burnt offering. But Abraham's young men, verse 3, would not be able to appreciate that kind of worship. The third day, mentioned in verse 4, goes with the words in verse 5, "I and the lad will worship and come again unto you." God had promised that through Abraham's seed, that very young man, Isaac, that Abraham would be the father of a multitude of people, and yet God had just asked him to yield up his son's life sacrificially. What did Abraham mean? We will come again to you. Well, the answer is in Hebrews 11 and verse 19, where it says, Abraham, quote, believed God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Resurrection. That's what Abraham was thinking when he said, we'll come again to you. What faith. All of this presents a figure or a type of the obedient Son of God, the Lamb of God, who offered up himself a lamb and rose again from the dead after the third day. It says that Abraham beheld the place afar off. The place afar off. And the place afar off was a picture of Calvary. A picture of Calvary. And when we take verse 5 and 6 together, Abraham's faith and Abraham's action of faith, we can only imagine the mixture of heartbreak Abraham felt with his son, and yet the tremendous devotion to the will of God. Why did God ask Abraham to do this? How else would we ever get the slightest glimpse of what God the Father felt when he yielded up his only at Mount Calvary? I've got a picture there for me. In verse 6, we read about the wood laid on the back of his son Isaac to be carried up that rugged hill, the wood. John chapter 19 and verse 17 says about the Lord Jesus, quote, he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, where they crucified him, bearing his cross. Think about the wood laid on the back of the Lord Jesus. But do you know, similarity turns into only just a huge contrast when we think about the Lord Jesus with a cross of heavy wood on his bleeding back. Then it becomes only contrast. The love that the Lord Jesus had for us to take that cross on his freshly scourged back, that he willingly endured the pain of all that for me and for you. Willingly, he endured it. What a debt of love we owe him for doing that. The wood was the wood for a burnt offering. The details of the burnt offering are described in Leviticus 1 and Leviticus 6. It was called a sweet savor offering. The antitype of the burnt offering is given to us in Ephesians 5 and 2, where we read, quote, Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. A sweet-smelling savor offering. The burnt offering. That's what the Lord did for us. The burnt offering, the fire. Still with verse 6. The wood and the fire. The fire speaks of God's judgment against sin and upon a substitutional offering for sin. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, we read that God hath made him, the Lord Jesus, to be a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Through him, we have righteousness. He endured the fire of God's judgment against my sin. Or, if you are a believer here today, we can say our sins were laid on him. And now we are declared righteous through Christ's imputed righteousness that he freely gives to whosoever believeth in him. He takes our sin, paid the penalty for our sin, and gives us his righteousness, given to whosoever. What a gospel message that is! He endured the fire. Still verse 6, the knife. The knife typifies the sword of God the Father. As we read about it in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, quote, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow." That means equal with the Father. "Saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." The Lord Jesus himself interpreted that verse in Matthew 26 and verse 31 when he said to his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." He was quoting that verse about, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." He referred to himself as the shepherd, and God the Father's sword was awakened against the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus endured the smiting of the sword of God. The sword of God, the Father, smitten upon the Son for me, for you. Have you ever thanked him for that? Have you ever said, "Oh, Lord, what you endured for me. Thank you, Lord." We should have had the scourging and the sword and the fire, but the Lord endured it all. Oh, how important to say, "Thank you, Lord." Verse 7 and verse 8. What a question by his only Isaac. "Father, where is the lamb?" Isaac had undoubtedly seen his father worship with sacrifices before this occasion. He knew that a lamb was missing. How many religions are pretending to worship God in this day, but without a lamb? All the residents of heaven are united by one song. And there's one theme that all the residents of heaven will be singing together. Revelation chapter 5. They look to the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, and they say, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Can you sing that song? Do you know his redemption through his precious blood shed for you? If you can sing that song here, you'll be singing it then. "Where is the lamb, Father?" And oh, how wise an answer from Abraham. "God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." Do you know you could read Abraham's words there in two ways? You could read it, God himself will provide a lamb, which he did, verse 13, the presence of that ram there. Or you could read it this way. A second meaning would be, God will provide himself a lamb. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, the Son, offered himself as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He is the Lamb of God. He provided himself as a lamb to God the Father for the sacrifice at Calvary. Verse 9. Oh, think of Isaac's submissiveness at a time like that. Let me read that verse. Verse 9. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the wood. And it doesn't give any explanation. How could we ever understand submissiveness like that? And it all portrays the Son of God willing silently to do the will of God the Father. What a wonderful thing that is, eh? Willingly giving his life as a sacrifice. What an application we can draw for ourselves in this day. Think now. Abraham gave his son. And look at that devotedness of the son. But if our devotedness to the Lord is our primary goal in life, God will bless us. I would like you to just stop and think for a minute as we think of Abraham's sacrifice. Abraham was willing to lay everything that meant anything to him on the altar to God. Am I willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? One of the hymns in your hymn book says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Let me read it to you. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on your altar is laid. Would you walk in the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment his way? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all must be laid. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made, of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid? That's a challenge to my heart today. Abraham was willing to lay it all. I've got a vision in my head of 13 young people who will totally put their trust in Christ and have God first in their lives to love and adore him. The heart of Isaac Now, let's go to our next picture, please. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called in heaven, Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Now I know that thou fearest God. Abraham had proved his devotion. And in an instant, God responded with really the answer to Abraham's prayer. Verse 13, God will provide a lamb to offer in the stead of Isaac. Abraham, verse 14, Abraham the prophet. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen. Can you see in the picture there? On the far left at the bottom, with the ram's horn curled and the nose pointed that way. It wasn't until Abraham stretched forth the knife that the revelation of the lamb was made. God provided. God provided. What a picture. Abraham the prophet. He's talking about Calvary. God would provide himself, the lamb, for the burnt offering. The mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. But God would provide not just that experience. God did provide the lamb for Abraham. But all of this was a figure, we read in Hebrews 11, a figure that Abraham received in type of his son was a picture of the Lord Jesus suffering at Calvary. What incredible faith Abraham had. You know, the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That says something about Abraham's faith at that moment. He saw it and was glad. Now, verses 15 to 17. Because of Abraham's devotedness in this area of giving his child to the Lord, God's appropriate response was one of blessing in the life of that child and that child's future generations. If I want my family to be blessed, it has to do with my devotion to God. That's the point. As soon as Abraham was willing to show that kind of yieldedness, God would bless his family. That's how God would do it. He was willing to give his family. God would bless his family. But it had to do with devotedness on Abraham's part to God. What a message to me today. So then look at the ways that God gave this promise of blessing. Here, after Abraham's deepest act of devotion, God granted a new revelation and gave Abraham another promise. Verse 17, the stars of heaven. That's what your seed will be like. That was one promise. The stars of heaven would illustrate a seed of faith, a people destined to be a heavenly people. And every believer in Christ is likened to stars. We're the children of Abraham. 1 Corinthians 15:41, the sun, that's the Lord, the sun of righteousness, the moon, a portrayal of the church, no light of her own, but goes through lots of phases, but her light is one of reflecting the sun's glory. the sun, the Lord, the moon, the church, the stars, individual witness of a believer, shining with one kind of brightness, one star differs from another in glory. Abraham, your children of faith will be like the stars. But then a second promise. They'll also be like the sea on the seashore. Like the sand of the seashore, I beg your pardon. Abraham's seed would be like the sand by the seashore, verse 17. Abraham would have an earthly people. Israel are God's earthly people and will one day be the meek who inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. They will abide under their own vine and fig tree, and God's long-awaited kingdom of heaven will be established on the earth, God's earthly people. And then finally, the third metaphor, which actually comes from Genesis 13 and 16, God promised to Abraham a seed that would be as the dust of the earth. The Lord Jesus said also to the Pharisees, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. It would seem that the children of Abraham that are the dust of the earth would be represented in those that were the children of Abraham, but not the actual children of faith of Abraham. I know you are Abraham's children, Abraham's seed, but you're not Abraham's children, the dust of the earth. Well, time is more than gone. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're thankful for thy word. We pray your blessing on it today, and especially that if there are any here today who haven't received you as Savior, that they'll see that Christ died for their sin. And yes, Lord, you're coming again to take us to be with you in heaven. Part us with your blessing now. We give thee thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.